Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Antioch. Hello to those of you who call Antioch home, those of you who are visiting with us today, and those of you who are watching us online, a special hello to you as well. So as a church, we have been going through a series walking through the book of Mark, and we are continuing in Mark chapter 6 today, if you want to go ahead and start making your way there. Mark chapter 6. And so as you're going there, I want to tell you, so I was listening to a true account the other day about a man by the name of Brother S. We'll just call him Brother S. Brother S is a Christian who shares his faith in Jesus and lives out his faith every day, but he lives in the country of Morocco in Northwest Africa. Morocco is a country that historically has been extremely hostile to Christians. So Brother S will meet with people all over Morocco to share his faith. And often what happens is when he tells someone, he gets to know them and he starts the conversation, is as soon as he tells someone about Jesus, what happens is people have actually stood up and started physically attacking him and even beating him. Recently, Brother S was brought in by the Moroccan police in an attempt to try to intimidate him to stop sharing his faith in Jesus. So they want him to stop sharing his faith. So the police brought him in and they tried to intimidate him. But Brother S has not stopped sharing, and he continues to tell others about Jesus because he knows the power of Jesus and what Jesus has called him to do. So despite the harsh untreatment and the physical beatings in a region that does not like Christians, Brother S continues to stand strong on his faith in Jesus. Our passage today revolves around another Christian who also was persecuted for his faith in Jesus. And as we're going to see, despite pressure from leaders, he didn't give in. He clung to his faith, even when it led to his death. So, church, with that, if you would stand as we read from Mark chapter 6, verses 14 through 29. And it says, King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said, he is Elijah. And still others claimed, he's a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want and I'll give it to you. And he promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I will give you up to half my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. At once the girl hurried in to the king with the request, I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the word of God. You may be seated. Last week, we took a look at how Jesus had empowered his disciples to go out and heal the sick and cast out impure spirits from people. So if you think about what happens when you drop a rock into a pond, the ripple effect that that causes, that's what's going on here. This is what the disciples are doing for the message of Jesus. They started with Jesus, and they spent time learning from him, and now they're being sent out, and they are spreading the good news all over the region about all the miracles that Jesus has been doing. So as they do this, more and more people hear about this miracle worker named Jesus. And one of the people who hears about Jesus is a man by the name of Herod Antipas. Herod was a ruler of a region called Galilee, which is where a lot of the Jews lived during this time. So Herod hears about Jesus, and everyone seems to have an opinion about who Jesus is. Look what it says. Some said John the Baptist was raised from the dead. Some said it was Elijah, who was a prophet who lived in the Old Testament, and others said it was another prophet. But when Herod hears about this, he says, uh-oh, I think I know who this is. I think it is John the Baptist. And I think he's come back to life to haunt me for what I did to him. So in his mind, Herod is terrified that a man by the name of John that he had killed has come back to life to seek revenge on him. So the question is, why even in the first place did Herod have John killed? Well, buckle up, because here we go. Mark gives us the story starting in verse 17. Herod had John arrested and thrown into prison, and it says he did this because of someone named Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. So here's the backstory. Herod had a brother named Philip, who is also a ruler of one of the neighboring regions during this same time. So while Herod is ruling in Galilee, his brother Philip is ruling basically in the next country over. Philip is married to a woman named Herodias, and we don't know what happened. We don't know where they went wrong, but somewhere along the way, Herodias decides that she no longer wants to be married to Philip, and instead, she wants to be married to, get this, to his brother, Herod. So here's what she does. She leaves Philip and marries his brother. And so in preparation for this message, I actually found an article from AD 30 that actually covered this story. This is an actual article from AD 30. Look what it says. So long, Philip. Hello, Herod. Just joking, that's not an actual. But when you read this, you start to see what kind of person Herod is by taking his brother's wife, and you see what kind of person Herodias is by marrying her husband's brother. But here's the thing about this whole situation. This marriage is illegal. Under the law that they had during this time, they weren't allowed to be married under these circumstances. But they did it anyway. So Herod and Herodias enter into this illegal marriage, and guess who calls them out on it? John the Baptist. Look what John says in verse 18. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." So John doesn't let Herod slide by with this. He tells him the truth. He says, "Listen, Herod, what you're doing is wrong. You shouldn't be married to your brother's wife. What are you doing? This is against the law. This is not right." And then if you go back to verse 17, it says Herod had John arrested and put in prison, and he did this because of Herodias, his wife. Translated, that means that he had him arrested and put in prison at the demand of his wife. So get this, Herod did not want to throw John in prison, but his wife did. This wasn't Herod's idea. This was her idea. In fact, as we're going to see shortly, Herod actually liked John. And even after he called him out for his sin, he liked him, he respected him. So Herod did not want to put John in prison. She wanted John in prison for calling them out on their illegal marriage. And eventually, Herod acts on it. And so by making this decision to throw John in prison, even though he didn't want to, we start to see something about Herod. He's a people pleaser. He gives in to pressure, and he does things just because other people want him to, even if he doesn't agree with it. So he does things just to appease other people. Keep this in mind, because this is going to have huge implications for us later on in this account. And here's the deal. John wasn't the only one who knew this marriage was wrong. There were probably other people who were like, hey, they shouldn't be married. What are they doing? They shouldn't be married. But while everyone else feared Herod because he was the king and they were scared of what he might do or what his wife might do, John stands up. And he tells him the truth. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. And we're going to get to it shortly, but this was not the first conversation John had with Herod about this. As we're going to see, not only does he like John, he liked listening to John when he spoke, because he recognized that John spoke with this certain level of authority that came from God. So when John spoke, Herod recognized that these were not just his own words. So Herod and John have somewhat of a relationship, and John taps into this. John uses this to his advantage, because this is what allows him to be able to have this honest conversation with Herod. What does this show us? God will sometimes use other people to speak to us. Sometimes when we need correction or wisdom or guidance, or when we're going off track, or when you've made a poor decision, or when you're headed down a dangerous path, God can certainly speak to us, but sometimes he speaks to us through other people. And so we need people, not just anyone, but godly people in our lives who are not afraid to tell us the truth. It may not be what you want to hear, but it is what you need to hear. God is using John to speak to Herod. But here's the thing about it. We have to be willing to listen. Notice what it said here. Look closely at verse 18. John had been saying to Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So John has been telling Herod this. We don't know how many times, but we know this probably wasn't the first time Herod heard this message. But what does Herod do about John's godly advice? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He stays in this unlawful marriage. And so I think this is a perfect example of something you and I and all of us have to keep in mind. You can hear godly advice. You can get godly advice from a godly person all day. But if you never humble yourself to receive it, what good is it? If you never change, if you never let it sink into your heart. So let me ask you, can people speak into your life? Or do you have a don't tell me what to do attitude? Let me ask that again. Can people speak into your life? Or do you have a don't tell me what to do attitude? And then on the flip side, maybe you're in the position of John, and maybe God has called you at this moment to speak into the life of someone else. Don't shy away from it, but also make sure you do like John did, and you don't just give your own opinions, but make sure it's the truth from God. Remember, John is a godly man, and so the advice he gives wasn't just his own opinions or his own thoughts on the matter, but it was from a godly perspective. So when he tells Herod, you're not supposed to have her as your wife, this isn't just what John thinks. This is what God has said. And I think this is so important because, you know, sometimes when someone is doing something that you don't agree with or they're living a certain way that you don't like, it can be easy to just start spewing off your own opinions about what you think. I think you need to start doing this. I think you need to start doing that. I think you need to stop this. I think you need to stop that. I think you need to not hang around them. I think you need to do that. And you just start giving your own opinions and your own preferences about everything. Make sure it's from a godly perspective. This is so critical, especially if you need to confront someone or have a hard conversation with someone. Before you start telling someone what you think they need to hear or what you think they need to do, make sure the advice you're giving aligns with the Word of God and the will of God. So let me remind us. There'll be times when we need to confront people. There'll be times when we need to have hard conversations with people. There'll be times when we need to tell someone something they don't want to hear. Maybe there's someone in your life right now that you just need to have a tough conversation with or a tough talk with. Here's the question. Do you give godly wisdom or do you just spew off your own opinions? Godly wisdom is different from your own just spewing off your opinions. This doesn't mean that we don't hold people accountable, but what it does mean is that we do it with a godly heart and from a godly perspective. Why? Because we care for people. We're not so concerned about trying to get them to live the life we think they should live, but the life God wants them to live. So John comes with the right heart posture when he tells him, listen, this isn't right. And then notice what happens next. We don't get Herod's response. Instead, we get Herodias' response. Look what it says, verses 19 and 20. Herodias nursed a grudge against John. And notice what it says, and wanted to kill him. So John tells Herod, who no doubt either tells Herodias or she overhears them or she hears someone else saying this, hey, John doesn't think the two of you should be married. And what does she do? Instead of taking to heart what John said, she holds a grudge against him for pointing out sin. How do you respond when someone gives you the hard truth? Do you humble yourself and admit when you're wrong so that you can change? Or do we, like Herodias, let our pride get the best of us and start holding grudges and bitterness toward that person? And listen, I get it. Nobody likes to be told when they are wrong. I don't like to be told when I'm wrong. Just ask my wife. I don't like to be told when I'm wrong. But a mature, growing follower of Jesus realizes that being told when you are wrong is actually a good thing because it can bring you back into alignment with God. So she gets so upset that she wants to kill John. She would rather get rid of the messenger than deal with the core problem. This is something, you know, people do this all the time. I don't like what you're telling me, so I'm just going to cut you out of my life. I'm just going to stop talking to you. That's basically what she's doing. She'd rather get rid of the messenger than deal with the message that they're saying. But Herod, at least for now, Herod doesn't let that happen. It says he actually protects John because he knows John is innocent and he doesn't deserve to die. But look what else it says. He knew John was a righteous and holy man. So this is interesting. Herod doesn't always take John's godly advice, but what Herod does notice is John's godly lifestyle. He doesn't necessarily take his godly advice, but he notices his godly lifestyle. He notices John's unwavering commitment to Jesus and how he stands on truth and stands up for the truth, even when it's hard. We have to remember that the world is watching us, watching how we live, watching how we behave. Herod noticed John's lifestyle, and he noticed he's a godly man. People may not always listen to what you have to say, but they are watching how you live. But remember, Herodias hates John, and she wants to get rid of him. Even with all the respect that her husband has for John, she does not like John. She wants to get rid of this man, and she gets her opportunity. Look at verse 21. Herod threw a birthday party for himself, and he invites all of these high-ranking, important people. And at some point during the party, Herodias' daughter comes in and dances for the dinner guests. And we're not 100% sure here, but most Bible scholars agree that she's not a young girl, but instead she's a young woman at this time. So the dance that she does, they think, is more of a provocative dance. And when she does this, Herod and his dinner guests are pleased. And as a way to thank her, look what Herod says to her. "Ask me for anything you want and I'll give it to you." And he promised her with an oath, "Whatever you ask, I will give you up to half my kingdom." And she doesn't know what to ask for. But notice what she does. She goes to her mother, Herodias, and asks, "Mom, what shall I ask for?" And without even hesitating, her mother says, "The head of John the Baptist." In other words, she wants her to ask that John be killed. Now, I want to pause right here. And I want you to think about this moment in this text. Her daughter has just asked her what she should ask the king for. And out of anything she could have advised her daughter on, she tells her daughter to ask to have an innocent man killed. What was this? This was an opportunity for Herodias to show her daughter how to make a wise choice. With what was basically a blank check from the king, the daughter has no idea what to ask for. The mom could have encouraged her daughter to ask for anything, an opportunity to help others, food be given to the poor. If anything, this was the perfect opportunity for Herodias to show her daughter how to do the right thing and stop holding on to a grudge and ask that John be released. But what does the mom do? She misses this opportunity to help her daughter make a wise choice. Parents, never forget that you have the opportunity to show your kids how to make wise choices. Even if you're not a biological parent and you don't have children of your own, there may still be children or young people or kids who God has placed in your life that you can help teach how to make wise choices. Think about this. The daughter could have looked back at this moment years later and said, "This was a pivotal moment where the king said, I could have anything I want. And my mom helped me make a good choice." But unfortunately, that doesn't happen. Because Herodias is so caught up in her own sinfulness and her own wickedness, she misses this opportunity. Here's what else I think this shows us. I was thinking about this the other day. We have to be careful because the areas of our lives where we're unhealthy or where we're caught up in our own sin can affect our kids. Did you see what happened here? She's holding on to this sinful grudge against John, and now she's involved her daughter in it, all because she is so caught up in her sin. So listen, we have to understand that if we don't get our sinfulness in check, if we don't repent where we need to, it can begin to affect our children. And we know that there's no such thing as a perfect parent. We make mistakes all the time. I make mistakes all the time as a dad. But we can strive to be parents, grandparents, aunts, caretakers, uncles who aim to follow Jesus and depend on Jesus and his Holy Spirit to transform us. But look what she does. The daughter gets this, she says, "Go ask for the head." And the daughter doesn't even second guess what her mother just asked her to do. She hurries off to do it. She goes to the king, says, "Give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king hears this and he becomes distressed, meaning he becomes sad. He becomes depressed because he knows John doesn't deserve to die. But look at what else it says. "But because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her." Herod could have done anything right here. He could have thought more about what he initially said and said, I'm not going to do that. Ask me for something else. And even though he may have looked bad for going against his word, it would have been the right thing to do, and he would have saved an innocent man's life. But he doesn't do this. He takes the easy way out, and he wants to appease his dinner guests, and he's more concerned with looking good rather than standing up for what's right. Remember, we talked about this earlier. This is now the second time we've seen this in our passage today, where Herod does things to try to make others happy instead of what the right thing is. The first time was at the beginning when he had John arrested and thrown in prison just because his wife wanted him to. And now he does the same thing, except this time it doesn't just cost John his freedom, it costs John his life. I think this should serve as a warning to each of us because, listen, we may not ever be in a position like Herod, but I think the temptation is still the same today. The temptation to do what others want you to do instead of the right thing to do. The temptation to compromise what we know is right just to make people happy. We have to be careful to not make decisions just because other people want us to. So you have to ask yourself, here's an important question. Is there any area in your life where I'm trying to do what others want me to do instead of what God wants me to do? So he does it. He sends an executioner who kills John. And when John's disciples hear about this, they come and take his body and place him in a tomb. Listen, there are five main characters in this account. And I think there's something we can learn from all five of them. Maybe you can identify with Herod. Maybe you haven't done anything as severe as he did, but you can admit that you are a people pleaser, and you can look back over your life and point to key moments when you made a choice or a decision because someone else wanted you to, even though you knew it was the wrong thing to do. And like Herod, you can look back and say, listen, I have a pattern in my life of doing what I think will make other people happy instead of following God. And if that's you today, I want you to know there is a Savior. It's the same Savior who John tried to talk with Herod about, and his name is Jesus. And he can set you free from the burden of living to try to please other people. Or trying so hard to please other people. He sets you free from people so that you can be free to live for him. I think it's interesting, going back to the beginning, Herod thought John the Baptist had come back to life, so he was haunted by his guilt of what he did to John, when all this time, it wasn't John, but it was the one who could set him free from the guilt of what he did to John. Jesus sets us free from living for other people so that we can live for him. Or maybe you can identify with his wife, Herodias, and you can say, listen, I've been holding a toxic grudge towards whoever for whatever reason, and it's causing me to live this sinful lifestyle, and maybe your heart has become hardened, and you've got bitterness and anger and evil. Let me tell you, there is a Savior who can release you from the grudges you hold against anyone and the sinfulness you find in yourself. All you have to do is humble yourself and come to Jesus, find freedom in him. Notice how dangerous this pattern is that Herodias goes down. First, she does something wrong by marrying Herod. She should have never done that. But then when she was confronted about it, instead of repenting, she digs her heels in and holds a grudge. Then that grudge leads her to have murderous thoughts. Then that leads her to act on those murderous desires, even to the point of involving her daughter. Then an innocent man is killed. What does this show us? What does this pattern that she goes down shows us? Listen, there is a real danger in unrepentant sin in our lives. Not saying that you'll ever go that far that she did, but this does show us that if we don't repent, sin can lead us to do some terrible things. But we have a Savior. It's the same person who tried to break up their marriage. Jesus, who can come in and free us from those sinful patterns that we're living in our lives. So today, if you find yourself holding a grudge of evilness or wickedness or whatever towards anyone, today you can be set free from that. by giving that over to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Or maybe your story is similar to her daughter's, and you can admit that you come from a broken home or a dysfunctional family where one or both parents or whoever the authority figure is in your home didn't really have a healthy emotional life or a healthy spiritual life. And because of that, they didn't really teach you how to make wise choices, and they didn't really model godly living. Instead, they modeled worldly living. And maybe they even involved you in some of their living. And like the daughter, you can look back to pivotal moments in your life and you can see where you could have really used some godly parenting or godly advice at that time, but you didn't get it. And because of that, you've been holding on to this for years. You've been holding on to the hurt and the pain from something parents did to you years ago. Let me tell you, there's a Savior who can release you from the brokenness and the dysfunction that you come from, and free you to live for Him. And you think about how traumatic this must have been for the daughter to be brought the head of a man. And just think about the trauma of seeing that. And maybe you can admit that maybe because of your parents' brokenness, because of their sinfulness, because of their lifestyle, it led to some trauma in your life. It led you to seeing some things that you should not have seen or experience some things you should not have seen through no fault of your own, but maybe through your parents. Jesus sets you free from that. Or maybe you're like the executioner who was sent to kill John. He shows up at the very end, but I think we need to highlight him. Maybe you haven't done anything this extreme, but you can admit that, look, I've done some pretty bad things in my life. And you're thinking, listen, there's no way God can forgive me for what I've done. If you've only know what I've done in my life, if that's you, I want to tell you about a Savior named Jesus who separates our sins as far as the East is from the West. And when you come to Him, He does not hold things against you. He doesn't keep bringing up your past. He sets you free. And then that leads us to John the Baptist. And I think John's life shows us that following Jesus will not always be easy. People may dislike you or even hate you. We talked about this last week. Sometimes they may reject you because of your faith. But what do? Just like John, we stand strong. We stand up despite the consequences. And here's what I love about this account. John is the one who's in prison, but he's also the one who's the most free. Herod's trying to please everyone, so he's enslaved to that. Herodias is enslaved to this evil grudge that she has. The daughter has her own stuff going on. The executioner just got sent to kill an innocent man. All of these people are free on the outside, but not on the inside. They are all enslaved to something. Meanwhile, John is in prison, but he's free because he has Jesus. And then even after his death, he experiences the ultimate freedom because he goes on to be with Jesus. So here's what I'm trying to say. Your external circumstances are not always going to be pleasing or perfect or good or what you imagine. They're not always going to be ideal, but you can have freedom in Jesus. So wherever you find yourself today, if you can identify with Herod, if you can identify with Herodias, if you can identify with the daughter, if you can identify with the executioner, wherever and whatever situation you find yourself in today, there is a Savior who John talks about, and He's come to set us free. Amen? Amen. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that we get to look back and read the account of John the Baptist, a man who stood on you, Jesus, even in the most severe of situations. And God, we know that this account still speaks to us today. So for some here, Maybe they find themselves like King Herod, and they could admit, I've been living to please everyone else. I've been making decisions to try to please everyone else, and I never actually think about what you want me to do, God. If that's you today, I want you to know you can turn to Jesus. Or maybe there's some here today like Herodias, and they're holding on to a grudge for something long time ago even. And because of that grudge, it's led to bitterness and anger and wickedness, and they're acting out on that, and their life is just toxic today. Jesus, if there's anyone here today that finds themselves like that, pray that your Holy Spirit will come in and free them from that. Or maybe someone's like her daughter, who saw some pretty traumatic things because of her mother's sinfulness. And maybe someone can admit today, you know, the house I was raised in, the parents I had, the guardians, or whoever the authority figure was not a healthy person. They didn't have a good relationship with you. And because of that, I saw some things or was exposed to things that I shouldn't have and been carrying the weight of that for years. I pray, Jesus, you will come in and free whoever that may be. Or like the executioner, maybe there's someone here today who feels like they've done some horrible things, and they think you would not accept them. You will not forgive them because of the bad things that they've done. Jesus, remind them of your forgiveness. Help us to live like John the Baptist, where we stand true to you and we have unwavering commitment. We pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.